Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, phonies in Phoenix, Clippers or Nets, new NBA trophies, contending Grizz, and those juicy trade rumors. Today, December 15th, International Tea Day. Jay, which tea is the best tea?
What tea? I don't drink tea, man.
Like an iced tea or something like that? You can't even give me that?
I never drink iced tea.
Really? What about an Arnie Palmer?
Anything but low tea.
Okay. Fred, do you have a tea take that's different than low tea?
Yeah, Arnold Palmer is not tea. It's a tea product. No, it's a tea product.
No, look it up.
It's a tea product. I know it's a very simple recipe. I mean, I don't need to look it up.
Depending on the lemonade.
It's like asking me how you make a Jack and Coke.
It's got to be tea.
It's not tea.
It's iced tea.
There's tea in lots of stuff, but it's not tea. It's a tea product, but it's not tea. It's only half tea.
If you put milk in your coffee, is that still coffee?
This is like, because it's not half milk. If you put half of your coffee as just milk, then no, it's not really coffee. It's a coffee product. You can't say your favorite tea is Arnold Palmer.
This is like saying the Wolves don't play basketball. They play a basketball product. Oh, wait. Actually, now I agree with
that. Yeah, there you go. I can't say my favorite type of lemonade is an Arnold Palmer. I can't say that.
What is your favorite type of lemonade?
My favorite type of lemonade is just lemonade. Although I do enjoy pink lemonade, even though I haven't had it since I was about 12.
Love pink lemonade. All right, let's get to our two contestants. In this corner, the most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics. Is that a McCorkle Jones jersey?
No, it's a signed Jimmy Josh G? Gordon jersey, actually.
Josh Gordon, of course. Okay. He writes Celtics. He reps Kings and Josh Gordon, and he still believes in Kevin Pitsnoggle, Luke Herangode, and anybody else who flamed out on their way to the basketball tournament. Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God.
Kevin Pitsnoggle is the truth.
Sacramento King. Jay, what is the best Christmas carol?
Silent Night.
Randy Scott from SportsCenter, he said that's the best Christmas song, and there are no other answers.
Night.
Oh boy,
I don't know the rest of the words, but those are
all
fire.
Is calm.
Yeah, so whatever comes next, it's fire.
All right, there we go. And in this corner, born and raised in New York City, he won't allow anyone to talk about Russell Westbrook but himself. A guy whose obsession with fruit only rivals his obsession with Wizards team building. The one and only Fred, don't call me Matt Katz. Fred, what are your top three fruits?
How do you know about my obsession with fruit?
That's all Schleck, baby. That's a producer right there.
Oh, my goodness. What research?
That's high production.
Oh, man. That's what happens when the New York Times and The Athletic come together.
That's
journalism.
That is good research. That's like when you get one of those nuggets in an interview that the person's like, how do you know?
Is that one of those Thunder After Dark things? Is that just that, like, deep in the recesses of Schleck's mind?
I don't even remember telling Andrew that, but it's completely accurate. Yeah, I'm completely addicted to fruit.
A fruit obsession.
I mean, I eat an extraordinary amount of fruit.
Guys, what are the top three fruits for Fred?
It really depends on mood, and it depends on season, and it also It also depends on if we're talking about reliability versus if I want to go high risk, high reward. For example,
are you normal fruit or exotic fruits?
And an excellent raspberry, for example, is just incredible to me.
Hard to beat a raspberry.
Is just incredible. But if if you get the raspberry outside of its peak condition, it's just gonna fall. Flavorless. It's mushy. It's tart. It's not what you want. So it's like, you know, you might, it's like Cam Reddish, you know, might be dropping 26 one day and it might be out of the rotation. So it just depends.
My hot take is that all berries suck.
That's a horrible take.
Strawberries, blueberries, raspberries.
What about Rick avocados? Berry, Brent that's berry. A berry. Chuck Berry.
Rick Berry was the truth. John Berry, Bench Mob. He's probably a big Victory Beam guy.
I think if we're talking just raw fruit and we're not including offsprings of fruit products, as one might say, like a pie or something like that, then I think I'm going to have to put strawberries in there for the consistency.
Sure.
I think we're going to throw mangoes in there just for their pure deliciousness. I enjoy tropical.
I was going to guess you were a mango.
No, guy. I'm pulling raspberry because of their inconsistency.
Wow. Okay.
Because of the inconsistency. I don't want mushy if I'm only choosing three. And I'm going to throw pineapple in there. Pineapple is just great. Difficult to cut.
I'm not a big strawberry guy. You know how good
pineapple
anymore?
Is? The fact that anyone ever eats pineapple is proof of how delicious pineapple is. And same goes for mango, because it is so annoying to cut. And the fact that anyone would ever go through the process of cutting it, that
pit in the middle, that how delicious pit is so annoying.
You can avoid it by not having fruit.
Similarly, I was thinking about this last night. Just the idea that we have cheese is insane. That we got to cheese is insane. But that's a conversation for another day.
You know what I was thinking about? Hold on. I got a crazy one. I was flossing my teeth this morning. I was like, who was the first motherfucker who flossed? Like, who just thought, I'm going to put string in between my teeth?
Ben Floss. He invented it. Look it up. I made that up. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Phonies in Phoenix are just a sun slump. The Phoenix Suns have lost 6 of their last 7 games, including a 111-97 loss to the buzzsaw that is the Houston Rockets Tuesday night. A game where the starting lineup shot 18 for 73 from the field. For those that are not into math, or maybe those that are into math, that's 24%. During this stretch of games, Booker has missed some time, but even when he's played, he's only averaged 14 points, shooting 31% from the field. During this tough stretch, had a couple of losses to the Pelicans, who is building a nice little rivalry with the Suns. In the first loss, Zion Williamson had a punctuation dunk that riled up some feathers, but not as much as yet another cheap shot from Chris Paul to Jose Alvarado. Pels fans were booing the former NOLA resident CP3, but not everybody was buying those boos. Suns color commentator Eddie Johnson had this take on the boos in New Orleans directed at Cliff Paul's brother. Schleck, play the tape.
Fans here had gone from a one-time love affair with Chris Paul to a guy they love to shower with the boos, which is the greatest compliment a player can get, right?
Schleck, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, I think I have a little tech in me. They are booing, but they got a machine in here that kind of echoes the boos, okay?
Right.
I mean, trust me, this crowd is not as loud as it seems. And if they're loud, I give them their respect. But they got a machine in here that's really working wonders, man. I'll tell you that right now. Because I'm looking at people's mouths and they're not saying anything.
Right.
But yet, it's a lot of boos.
You made that point on Friday.
Speaking of trends, homer announcers, not just Eddie Johnson. It's every damn team in the league at this point. All right. Like a good neighbor, fake boos are there. So, Jay, what is more real? The slump the Suns are currently in actually meaning something, or those boos directed at Chris Paul from the Pelicans crowd?
They are all real.
Whoa. Both of them. What?
The Suns, I don't want to say they're in trouble, but there are reasons for concern. And I'm not going to overreact because they lost a game to the Rockets when they were starting Landry Shamet and Torrey Craig, right? Like, that's not when you judge a team. But I just don't think Chris Paul has been anywhere near his normal self. Their depth isn't what it used to be. Cam Johnson being out has really been tough for them. And they'll be much better when he comes back. But I just think they need more. And maybe they'll get it in a Jay Crowder deal and they'll be able to get somebody else for their rotation. But I'm really worried about the way Chris Paul has looked, man. And if he's not right come playoff time,
Like they just won't have enough. They need him to be the second guy who can orchestrate the offense, who can go get a bucket in a one-on-one situation. And if he's not that, I just don't see this team having enough when it matters.
Fred, are the Suns more a raspberry, which is, it's got to be just right, or are they a strawberry? Are they a mainstay in this fruit cocktail that is the NBA season?
I think there's no question that over the last 2 years, the Suns are way more of a strawberry. Like they are, they have been a constant whose top gear isn't that different from its bottom gear, right? But I'm a Jay. Like for the first time since Chris Paul's rookie year, his team is worse with him on the floor than better. I'm concerned about the way he's playing. He's not shooting the three well. Normally, he's this hyper-efficient guy, and he's had seasons where the shot has fallen off, and he's missed about half the year so far. So maybe he turns it around. But like some of these, a lot of these losses are to good teams. They lost to a hot Dallas team. They lost a couple times to New Orleans, and I agree with you on Houston. But I'm concerned about that defense. Before this streak started, the Suns were number two in the league in net rating. They were basically neck and neck in net rating with the Boston Celtics, who are the best team in the league. Since the five-game losing streak started, they are by far last in the league in net rating. By far. They were fourth in defensive rating going into it. And since the streak started, they have by far the worst defensive rating in the league. They're giving up 122 points per 100 possessions. The defense is a problem. They're giving up a lot of corner threes. They're giving up like 54% shooting on corner threes. They're letting guys get to the middle too easily. I don't think they're like going to stink, but I think I would be concerned.
I mean, but also like Jay, you know, Devin Booker's missed time. Like he's got this hamstring issue, right? And like he gets back in the lineup. I know it's only been a couple of games, but I don't think he was completely right against the Pelicans. Like he gets back in the lineup, like they'll be fine.
And Cam Johnson's injury is a big deal too. Like him being out, they don't really have another guy like that because Jay Crowder decided he wasn't going to play for them this year and they haven't gone out and moved him yet. So that's a big deal. That impacts their defense. Having a guy of that size, when you lose him and then you turn to like Torrey Craig, Landry Shamet, there's just a huge drop off there. So I think a lot of their problems will be fixed by just getting healthy and moving Crowder for somebody who can help. But the Chris Paul thing is just weird. It's not even that he's not being effective. He's not even trying to score and not even trying to like break guys down. And that's what's troubling to me is that I don't know if he has that anymore. And if he doesn't have that, like who's your number two in a playoff series? Bridges? Because Bridges is awesome. But Bridges, if he's your really number two, if he's the one who needs to go get you a bucket after when Devin Booker gets doubled or whatever. Yeah, but like you need that second guy to really be able to break down a defense. And I don't know, the Chris Paul thing, and maybe he'll just get healthy again and prove me an idiot for doubting him. He's kind of like the Tom Brady of the NBA in some ways, where he's been doubted for years and then just keeps coming back and being as steady as ever. But it's not right with him right now.
Yeah, again, like I'm not worried about his play until March. We talked about that on Buds this week, but like I'm not worried about his play until March. If it's still like this in March, then it's like, oh no, he fell off a cliff.
Yeah, but like, aren't you concerned that he's 37 and 6 feet tall and in the playoffs last year, like totally ran out of gas?
No,
maybe got COVID.
Because they all got COVID last year. That's why. And as we know, it's gone, right? Maybe not. All right, take two, guys. It's time for a little game I like to call Who Do You Believe In More? On Monday night, the Clippers welcome the Boston Celtics to LA and smash them. Their full complement of players, including a rejuvenated Kawhi Leonard, reported 25 points on 12 shots. The Clippers look dangerous as ever. But Kawhi kind of shrugged off the victory, saying, quote, I don't want to be here tonight. I'm focusing on the end of the year. Playoff basketball doesn't matter about tonight. That tracks considering he's not there most nights in hopes of being ready
really
for the playoffs.
I don't want to be here tonight.
I'm just reading what Schleck put in there. This also came after Kawhi and the Clips lost to Orlando last week. Meanwhile, the Brooklyn Nets have won 8 of 9 and have Kyrie Irving saying things like, quote, man, let's just go win ball games. That's it. That's really what the attitude is. We know the talent we have. This is our group. No more excuses. No more distractions. We're all trying to find the guy who did this. Fred, which of the, I may have editorialized that last one. Man, Fred, which of these volatile teams do you believe in the most, the Clippers or the Nets?
I think it all depends on how you define believe. I think it's probable the Nets will end up with the better regular season record. Their guys seem like somehow it seems like their guys are going to end up actually playing more than the Clippers guys. I just don't see a world where Kawhi ends the year playing 55 games.
He doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there. But you know what? Neither do some of the Nets. So
that was a real quote. Otherwise, I'm going to get hammered. I had not heard that quote.
I can't confirm if that's a real quote, but I think the Clippers are just going through the season like John Wall is not going to play back to backs. Kawhi is not going to play back to backs. I think they have taken an approach to where they at an institutional level don't care about the regular season. They are just gearing up only for the playoffs. I think Zach Lowe referred to them as like a science experiment, which I thought was a good way to put it.
But Fred, they need reps, right? Like they have to play together at some point.
One would think, but I'm still putting them as the better chance at winning a title than the Nets, because if they put together that conglomeration of players is going to be a two-way beast in the postseason with the way they're going to be able to switch everything and be able to guard like crazy. And Zubats is having a hell of a year, by the way. Yeah, people talk about them having a center problem, but he's been awesome, and it's going to work in the playoffs for him for 24 minutes a night or something like that. So I if you need to close big or something like that, like I think that team, that roster is just a lot more complete, where the Nets in the playoffs are just going to have to outscore teams. They're going to have defensive issues. They're going to have size problems down low. And I don't think there's the two-way versatility on that roster that there is on the Clippers.
Jay, the Nets have been really good lately.
Yeah, but if we're talking about belief, I have zero belief in either of these teams right now. Zero.
That's not the question. The question is, Jay doesn't play the game. No, he's playing his own game.
If you have zero belief,
he's saying that he has a problem with Chris Paul and the Suns.
He's not believing in either of them.
Which do you believe in more? You don't have to pick the right answer, but pick the better answer.
He's just looking for Josh Gordon stats and trying to find one clip where McCorkle Jones looks competent.
Mac Jones is coming off a nice road win.
He sucks.
Against a 4-9 Cardinals squad. But I just these two teams, to me, it's appropriate that we lumped them into the same category, because we have spent as much time on these two teams as any teams outside of the Lakers for the past three seasons. And it's still the exact same as it's been, except for that one glorious stretch when the Nets were awesome. Kawhi can't stay on the court. Paul George can't stay on the court. They haven't had reps together. This is year what for them? And they still haven't really played together at all. And then the Nets, they look great right now. They've got Durant playing at an insanely high level. They've got Kyrie playing at a high level and actually playing basketball. But like, you're just waiting for something bad to happen.
Kyrie said no more excuses, no more distractions.
So we're he's not the guy who is causing those, for sure not the guy who is causing those. But I just don't buy either of these teams. And part of it is like, the Clippers, is Reggie Jackson going to be your point guard in crunch time? I just don't buy that. Is John Wall going to be your point guard in crunch time? The Celtics were guarding him with Luke Kornet the other night, and like, kind of getting away with it.
Yeah.
Literally guarding him with Luke Kornet as a primary matchup.
That's wildly disrespectful.
That's like the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. Yeah. And then the Nets, if either of these teams do fix it though and contend, it's going to be the Clippers, because their supporting cast, like Fred said, is just totally different.
Yeah, they're super
far more complete. Yeah. They have a lot of different ways they can play. They have more two-way wings than basically anybody in the league. Maybe actually anybody in the league. But I need to see it from Kawhi especially. It's been so long now since he was a consistent factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clippers offense is a problem too. Like Clippers offense
is so bad. It's so bad. I mean, I think they can build it, but again, they need reps together. Like they have plenty of pieces to have a really good offense, but they just need reps together, and they're not getting those week after week.
Yeah, they turn it over like crazy. Yeah. They turn it over like crazy. They don't really create as many corner threes as you would hope. They don't create as many overall threes as you would hope. They're not really getting to the line. Yeah. They're bottom five in points per possession. Like, you just look around and it's like, there's not the one thing for them to hang their hat on. And I guess the thing that you can hope for is, well, once Kawhi is back, that all goes away. And maybe that ends up being right. And Kawhi is literally back, but once he's, you know, back to Kawhi, maybe it does all go away. But like Jay said, it's just you haven't seen it. I just think there's a better chance of that happening than the Nets defense basically being good enough for them to carry him to a title. And I see a world where the Clippers could still win a title.
Is the Clippers depth super overrated, or am I the only one who thinks that?
You're the only one who thinks that. They've got crazy depth.
They have like 14 legitimate NBA players, right?
Yeah.
But who's their third best player?
Who's their third best player?
Yeah.
Zubats.
Exactly.
No, but exactly. Zubats is a monster this year. He's a monster this year.
Fine, but if he's like the third piece of your big three, then you're in trouble. Like you need
not
a third guy who's better than that.
Your big one.
Well, you're going to be Kawhi's playing, healthy, you're gonna be playing healthy, against teams.
Who can match with Kawhi other than the Warriors? Who can match with Kawhi? Nobody.
Nobody can match up with Kawhi. But
exactly.
You're not going to be matching up against Kawhi. You're going to be hunting Reggie Jackson. You're going to be hunting John Wall. You're going to be laying off those guys and making them shoot. You're going to be
forcing
Zubats to guard you on the perimeter. Like,
if you have a healthy Kawhi, like, that's the whole plan. You have a healthy Kawhi and you just roll the dice because he's fucking great. Speaking of great, hey, people, baseball may be over on the field, but the hot stove is about to be fired up. In fact, it's already fired up. There are billions of dollars worth of deals being given out. So be sure to check out all the latest rumblings and grumblings on The Athletic Baseball Show, a podcast which features some of the best writers and thinkers in the game. You got Ken Rosenthal, Jason Stark, Doug Glanville. You got your Andy McCullough. You got your Tim McMaster. You got your Keith Law, among others. That's right here on The Athletic Podcast Network. Back after this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back. Take three. Everybody gets a trophy with a new name. The league unveiled the new... I don't know why you're flashing your signed Josh Gordon jersey again, like we literally came back to from a commercial break and people are just tuning in. The league unveiled the newly designed trophies for the upcoming NBA Awards. Headlining is the Michael Jordan Trophy given to the league's most valuable player. There are five other new trophies named after league pioneers. The Hakeem Olajuwon Trophy for Defensive Player of the Year, Wilt Chamberlain Trophy for Rookie of the Year, John Havlicek Trophy for Sixth Man of the Year, the George Mikan Trophy for Most Improved Player, and the Jerry West Trophy for the Clutch Player of the Year. Considering Monk Meinecke won the first ever True Rookie of the Year award, it's a little disrespectful not to name it after him, but I guess Wilt was the first rookie to win MVP in the same year, and I just really wanted to say Monk Meinecke. The Michael Jordan Trophy depicts an NBA player jumping out of the ground to reach for a crystal basketball. The other trophies look like crystal vases, or vases, however you want to pronounce that, with a small gold figure inside. They kind of look terrible. But, Jay, I want to know your thoughts on the new NBA trophies.
Just a tough day for Maurice Podoloff.
It is. And it was, that's the first thing I thought of too.
Just a tough day. The MVP trophy was named after him. Can we show Maurice Podoloff his proper respect?
The old MVP trophy was great.
Exactly. And this guy, he's the reason the NBA exists. He literally merged two leagues into the NBA. He started the NBA draft. He expanded the team
from
hardly any teams into an absolute monster. He allowed George Mikan to be great.
He didn't make him tall.
I'm just saying. He did. Maurice Podoloff, the guy who literally invented the NBA, just had his name stripped off the MVP trophy. And granted, it's for Michael Jordan, and they're going to a more player-centric theme, it feels like. But just a tough, tough day for Maurice Podoloff, and everyone loves him.
Fred, what's more disrespectful, that or Evan Turner saying the LeBron trophy is going to be if another team wins a title in the bubble?
That was, I would say that was unbelievable, but it was Evan Turner. So
it's Evan Turner. Yeah, that's right on
completely
brand.
Believable. Seems I actually would legend. Be surprised absolute if legend. Evan Turner didn't do that. You know what? I don't care about the trophies. I just don't care.
I'm with you, Fred.
You can't make me interested. It means nothing. I never cared who any of these trophies were named after.
Did you know it was named after Maurice Podoloff?
I do now. I thought it was Jakob Pertloff is really what I thought it was.
that's
the Larry O'Brien trophy though.
Yeah, that's who I would name the MVP after. I mean, I would only care if they like none of these are out on the limb. It'd be more interesting if they went out on the limb. Like if they named the clutch award after like Robert Horry. But you would never want to memorialize like Robert Horry.
Yeah.
So they're gonna do it after Jerry West. So like I don't know. This is just like it means nothing. This Jerry is just West a way has, for the NBA to get a little bit of news out there. And it just, I'm totally uninspired by the
why do we, why is there a clutch player of the year? Why?
How do you determine that?
Can we talk about, cause like, okay. Have you guys have all been awards voters, right?
I have not. They show have, me yeah. no respect.
Oh, they show me.
Yeah. They show Jay no respect.
Like four or 5 years running now. Yeah.
This is why Jay can't get meetings at the New York Times because he just wasn't an awards voter. It's no respect in the industry,
no respect.
Okay. Jay, you've thought about awards. Like we vote on, I voted three times.
Only when
like
Bontemps sends me a straw poll.
Hey, at least you got that. I don't get that anymore.
Oh, we vote on the these and we are voting for clutch player of the year. How the hell are you guys planning on voting for clutch? What a ridiculous award. Like, how are you guys planning on voting for clutch? I always thought most improved player was the dumbest award because it's the only award where you try to make your argument by getting into a fight over which guy actually sucked more previously, which is a ridiculous way to choose an award. Clutch player is obviously the worst award now. How are you guys voting on this? What are you going to do? How the hell are you going to do this?
I guess I'm going to look at like most clutch points, most fourth quarter points, clutch shooting percentage, wins, buzzer beat. I don't know. I never even knew I had to consider that. Do I have to include that in my awards rankings that start up after the All-Star break?
Is that when I have to start this? When someone who shoots like 30% in the last 5 minutes of close games wins because they had like three incredibly memorable game winners.
I mean, it's time to give Russ his due, right?
Maybe the answer is we look at like win probability added in fourth quarters.
I'm not because, like, doing those, that. No, that's those some game nerd winners? Shit I'm not doing. No, no, no. I'm not doing
I'm just going to do whoever has the most game winners, and I'm going to pray to God that like it's like Bryn Forbes or something hits two game winners in a season.
Do we have a clutch screen assist? And I can vote for Bryn Forbes. I know we have screen assist, but do we have clutch screen assist? Because that's what I'm going to vote for. Rudy Gobert. get some room on that mantle.
The Rudy Gobert screen assist don't allow for 36. Their teams to be in close games.
Wow.
Yeah, what's good the Daryl Morey quote? Great teams don't win close games. They avoid them.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good quote. Would you rename the most improved player? Would you name that George Mikan? Do you think of George Mikan with most improved because he has a layup drill?
That's a ridiculous one. How did they choose George Mikan?
They just needed an old name.
My theory is they should have kept Podoloff on the MVP trophy.
What if we did this?
Hold on, gone with Michael Jordan as the most improved.
No, he was great out of the box. What are you talking about?
He didn't make his high school team. Has anybody ever improved more than that? George Mikan didn't. I'll tell you that much. Even though he had some stupid drill where he took lefty layups and then righty layups.
Because back then that was unheard of. That's why. That's how bad it was. That's how bad it was. Here's what they should have done. They should have named the finals MVP after Michael Jordan and then moved Bill Russell's name to the Larry O'Brien. Right? The Bill Russell trophy should be the NBA finals trophy.
And why does Kareem get no respect?
Exactly.
Can we name an award after Kareem? Like this guy is the most criminally overlooked player in basketball history.
Also, look, Hondo, I know he came off the bench like the first seven seasons. The next 10, he was a starter. What are we doing?
I mean, you know? how many, like,
that should be Lou
first
Williams
ballot award. Hall of
that
Famers
should be Lou Williams
came off the bench
award.
For half of their... No, Lou Williams, first of all, don't get me started about the Lou Williams thing. Don't, we're
coming
not going to name him the best
break,
sixth man just because he scored a lot of points.
We're talking trade rumors right here on the Athletic NBA Show podcast.
I love Lou Williams too. I don't know why I just ranted about him.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And we're back. Take four. Will any of these guys finally get moved? In Shams Charania's latest inside pass right here on The Athletic, Shams lists the following players as part of trade discussions happening throughout the league. Jay Crowder, Bojan Bogdanovic, John Collins, Eric Gordon, and Kyle Kuzma. Crowder, as we know, has yet to play for the Suns this year because he wants to be moved. Bogdanovic got shipped to Detroit to help them, and now they're basically playing for lottery balls before we hit Christmas. Collins is always on the trade block. Eric Gordon has been saddled with helping these young Rockets learn until they finally move him. For me, Kuzma is more of the surprise here, but don't listen to me. We've got a former Wizards expert on the line. Fred, which of these guys can you see being moved too soon? And why Kyle Kuzma?
Well, Kuzma's expiring and he's going to cost money and the Wizards are 11-17. I mean, I think the Wizards, if they had their druthers, would like to bring those guys back. I think they would definitely like to bring back Porzingis. I think they'd like to bring back Kuzma, but he's a good player who's going to be unrestricted after this year, and he's going to be able to sign with whomever they want. And I'm sure they can get something solid for him. Like, if they can trade him for John Collins, I wonder if that's something they would do. If they could trade him for Crowder or Cam Johnson or something like that, like, I you have to pick up that call, right? Like, that's a young player who you're going to have control over. If it's like a Cam Johnson or and Collins under contract for a bit, it makes sense basketball wise with Porzingis. I haven't heard anything saying the Wizards are totally going to trade Kuzma. I just feel like that's one that makes a lot of sense if you were going to go elsewhere. I see Kuzma trades that make a lot of sense for both teams involved, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of those happens. So
you know who doesn't operate as a team that makes a lot of sense? The Wizards.
Hey man, Bradley Beal's hurt. You can't hold that against him.
I mean, you can certainly hold the way they've treated the Bradley Beal era against them in every way. The people they've put around him, the contracts they've handed him, the ridiculous attempts to maintain their place as the 9th or 10th best team in the Eastern Conference. But we don't want to spend time on the Wizards, who were Zach Harper's favorite league pass team.
Not true.
Coming
Not
into the
true.
Season.
I said,
always spend time on the Wizards.
One, I said the Blazers were. You don't mention that. And two, I said the Wizards are must watch because they're so weird. They have the weirdest games.
They're 11-17 and yeah, play awful. That's basketball. True.
No, they have the weirdest games. They either get annihilated or they play like the closest games with the weirdest finishes ever, and there's no in between.
Yeah, and
it's super weird.
And you're waiting for like Howell Neto to like save them or something. Like they're the Seahawks of the NBA. It's just always a weird game.
Zach, you're the only person whose reference point on the Wizards is former Wizard Howell Neto.
Because you're always, look, he's still on the Wizards in my heart, and he's always there in crunch time of a weird game. Always.
See, for me, it's just Ish Smith. But.
Three-time Wizard Ish Smith.
I want
leader in joining the Wizards.
I want to see whether the Heat or Bucks get any of the guys that you listed. Because I think Crowder, Bogdanovich, his contract could make things difficult. But Crowder, Bogdanovich, Collins, Kuzma, those are exactly the type of guys with the size and ability to play power forward. You don't think Collins could help if he landed on the Heat? You don't think he would help them?
No.
Why? Because he's been good all his career, but trade rumors have surrounded him at every turn.
Has he been good all his career? Or has he just put up numbers? He's put up numbers.
He's been
which, good. By the way, he doesn't do anymore.
Well, you know why?
Because he's averaging.
Because that whole team is an absolute sloppy mess.
That's true. It's really bad. That's a copy fest team. Because you get to see who's checked out in the first quarter every damn night. It's someone new every game.
Collins is a good answer to that question. Like, it could totally be Collins. Like, Collins has been up. The problem is, it's hard for me to answer Collins, is because Collins has been on the block for like 4 years and nothing has happened.
I don't even expect Miles Turner to get traded because he's always about to get traded. And then even as expiring, I don't think he's going to get traded because he never ends up getting traded.
I was having a conversation with a Knicks player in the locker room a couple weeks ago where we were just reeling off players who we can't believe that they're still there.
Yeah.
And because I just said to him kind of offhand, I can't believe that Terrence Ross is still on the Magic. It's like unbelievable that he's still on the Magic.
Yeah, he just survived.
He just looks at me and just deadpans and goes, I can't believe that Eric Gordon is on the Rockets.
He's the only one that didn't get out.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
It's a good one, too. And we're just going back and forth. And
I bet Eric Gordon can't believe it either. He's probably so
Rockets. The Rockets broadcast last night was talking about him like he was the godfather. Like, I mean, it's just so, like, he praised, I don't know, some player. He praised, like, Jabari Smith for playing defense on Giannis. And they're like, yo, he doesn't just give praise out. when he speaks, it means something. I'm like, dog, it's Eric Gordon. What are we doing?
Does that mean most of the time he's just shitting on his teammates?
I know.
And then every once in a while, he's like, ooh.
Jabari Smith Tillman's making them be super homerific, but, like, come on, man. Like, I like Eric Gordon, but let's all calm down there. Hey, guys, take five. Buying the Grizzlies? No, they're not for sale. Let's be honest. You don't have the money to get them, even if they were. But are they for real? It's like, is that a real Josh Gordon jersey that Jay keeps splashing at Fred? The Mighty Grizzlies have the league's longest win streak at 6 games in a row heading into this recording. Over the last 10 games, Grizzlies have the league's best net rating at +9.7 with the 11th best offense and the number one defense during that stretch. They got some bad news about Desmond Bane's potential return last week and likely won't have him for another 2 to 3 weeks. Ja Morant, another All-NBA season, and Jaren Jackson Jr., Triple J, has been a monster. Since returning, he leads the league in blocks per game and has 40 total blocks in 11 games a season, only 2 behind Porzingis, who has played 16 more games than Jackson. If the Grizzlies can get healthy for a postseason run, Fred, are you buying them as a threat to make the NBA Finals?
Oh, I'm buying them absolutely as a threat to make serious noise. I mean, they have not played one game.
Are you buying them to make serious noise or make the NBA Finals?
I'm buying them. As a threat to make the NBA Finals. Yes, I'm buying it.
Cool.
They have not played one game where they've had their full rotation. Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. haven't played together yet. I think one of the huge things with Jaren Jackson right now, by the way, is the fouls. I mean, last year it was such a problem with the fouls, especially when he played the five, and so far he's looking a little better in that category, which is a huge advancement because that hurt them time and time again in their playoff run last year. Ja looks incredible. Desmond Bane, before he got hurt,
had a serious most improved player argument. I mean, the dude is so much better. He's legitimately one of the five best shooters in the NBA right now. I really believe that because he's just elite on every single kind of three, running off screens, catch and shoot, off the dribble, coming around pick and rolls. Like, he is an unbelievable shooter and scorer. I think they've got some, like, Jay talked about in relation to Chris Paul, which is like, you need that second ball handler, that second scorer to be able to do stuff in the playoffs. That's it. I also think they're primed for a move. Like, they have picks, they have contracts they can deal. They've got a real identity. They're extremely well coached. Like, and their young guys are developing well. Jake LaRavia looks good, and Santi Aldama.
Jake LaRavia.
Santi Aldama has been good for them.
He's good. Super good.
He's good.
He is a hooper.
I have Aldama fever.
He's good. Like, him jumping in for Jaren Jackson Jr. at the beginning of the year was like almost a blessing in disguise, where it's like they got to see, like, okay, we can legit rely on this guy. He is actually good. They don't turn the ball over when Tyus Jones is on the floor. They don't make mistakes. They're active as hell. Brandon Clark is a really good third big. Like, they're deep. They're good. They're in good shape. And the West is not amazing.
Hold on real quick. Is Loyola Marymount or Loyola Maryland? Is that Santi's alma mater?
Alma mater is better. Yeah. Alma mater is better.
I just improved your pun.
Show your stupid jersey again.
I will. Here you go.
I hope it cuts into all your time here.
But I'm going to go so far as to call the Grizzlies a sleeping giant. They are ninth in offense, even though Desmond Bain has played fewer than half the games. They are sixth in defense, even though Jaren Jackson, their best defender, has played fewer than half the games. Like,
they're not a sleeping giant, man. They're awake. They're a giant. Clip this so
nobody talks about them. Nobody.
No, that's
and everyone
not
talks
true.
About how bad
no,
the Western
I'm
Conference
so
is.
I'm so sick of this shit. You sound like a fucking Grizzlies blogger right now. I'm so sick of this. No, you know who doesn't talk about them? ESPN. That's who doesn't talk about them. When they're like, oh, national media doesn't talk about us.
When's
we talk about the Grizzlies
time,
every fucking
when's the last
week
time we had
on
a segment
this show
on the Grizzlies.
Or Buds. We talk about them constantly. We talk about how good they are. Like, granted, we talk shit about Dylan Brooks to you because you inexplicably like him as a player, but that team is
Dylan
good.
Brooks
We've been talking
heart.
About them for 3 years about how good this team is and what a threat they are and that they're a contender. I've had them in contender list up and down the damn season, last season and this season. They're good. Everybody talks about them except for like a national rights holder. Stop with this shit.
I'm so happy I set you off.
Oh, well, can God. I really get into Grizzlies nuance? Can I really get into Grizzlies nuance, which is, I think, really going to help them
they
in the playoffs this year if it's real?
Leave. Yeah.
They
That's true.
Give.
That's He's true, really right? Great. He's good, too. Yeah.
You got to give Kenny Lofton more minutes.
The thing...
They'd win the title.
The last couple of years... That's true. The last couple of years, when I watched Jaren Jackson Jr., I kind of had a... Like, so many if-only moments, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if only he didn't foul as much. If only he could hit those threes, right? Mm-hmm. He's shooting 36 from three. He is fouling less.
Yeah.
That is an unbelievable weapon as a third guy. Like, that's a potential defensive player of the year candidate.
Absolutely.
At some point. Like, he is Absolutely. Really that good. And he's shooting 36 from three right now. It's only 11 games, so we have to see if it's real. But pick and pop with Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be a real weapon for them now, because with the way that Ja is making threes this year, we're seeing more teams have to fight over screens against him when they run pick and rolls. And now you're getting Ja going downhill, and teams are going to have to be a little more frantic making a decision with Jaren Jackson as the screen setter if he's going to shoot 36 from three instead of 30. Like, that is going to be such a weapon for them and is going to screw up so many defenses. Their biggest problem last year in the playoffs was their half-court offense.
Yeah.
Especially when Ja was out, obviously. And their half-court offense is going to look a lot better if those two things are going for them. If you have to fight over a Ja screen and he can potentially get going downhill, or if you fight under it, then he can hit a pull-up against you. And if Jaren Jackson is going to hit his threes, that will change the makeup of their half-court offense, and it only makes them more dangerous.
I think the shooting's real for Jackson, because this is what he did at Michigan State, and this is what he did the first 2 years in the league. Like, when he was hurt 3 years ago and last year, when he was hurt, like, yeah, he didn't shoot the ball well. Like, he didn't shoot the ball well last year, but this is him. Like, he is a league average or better three-point shooter. And so I think this is like
on high correction. Volume too.
Yeah, on high volume. Like, he takes a lot of, like, I think this, I don't question the shooting at all. Only thing I question with him is I'm not necessarily buying the lower foul rate. Like, that, I think I want to see a bigger sample of that. And then it's just, can he be healthy? Right? That's the only question I have with Jackson. Like, is he capable of staying on the floor?
This franchise has done such a good job of identifying and developing players.
They're the new Raptors.
Like, exactly. You look at Conchar's good.
Yeah,
he's Aldama's really good. Mm-hmm. Tyus Jones is awesome. Like, Brandon Clark is good. Like, they just have a long list of guys. Desmond Bane, they got late in the first round. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really, really good.
I think Tillman's a great backup big. Like, he doesn't get a lot of minutes, but, and like, you need to plug him in. Like, he's good.
Yeah, they just have a lot of depth, and they still have a lot of depth after losing some important guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sign of a really good organization when you can just, like, fill in those cracks and find guys like Aldama. This is a lot of Aldama talk. I'm a big Aldama guy.
We could do a whole week on Santi Aldama. He's really good.
He's good.
And I've highlighted him like two times in the power rankings this year. Like, I'm all in.
You watch him and it's like he kind of jumps out. He's just so big and long and mobile and fluid. It's like, there aren't many young guys, and he's 21 years old.
He makes some really fun plays too. Like, he's a fun player. He's not just good, he's fun.
Yeah.
Much like Point of Contention every week. And that's it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Make sure subscribe to all the pods on the Athletic Podcast Network. Of course, we've got Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Blue Guys, Sixers Beat, and the Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay King, for Fred Katz, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.